Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, get your Bibles and go with me. And for those of you that are new for the first time, guess what? This is the fourth time we've been, fourth week in a row that we've been in the book of Hebrews. We teach line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because God wrote it that way. It's that simple. I've said it before a million times. I'm going to say it again. The Bible, listen to me now, refers to itself as the hidden mysteries of God. Hidden because they're hard to find. Watch this. Mysteries because they're hard to figure out. Have you ever read your Bible and said, wow, I can't figure that out. What's he trying to say? It's really quite simple when you put it all together. And that's what we do in this place so that you can learn and understand the hidden mysteries of God. When you apply and find those hidden mysteries of God in your home and your family, finances, dreams, and vision, and your heart lines up with the things of God and the will of God, my goodness, all of a sudden life starts to explode with the joy that's everlasting and the peace and the fulfillment that you know you're doing what God would have you to do. Today, as I read from these verses, and I might mention to you, this is our fourth time that we have taught in the book of Hebrews. We're just starting out in the book of Hebrews, and you know, it's been a month. This will be a month now that we've taught, and we're just breaking in to the third verse. So the first couple of verses took almost three quarters of a month to get through the first two verses. Now this next verse, this is a big verse, verse number three, I don't know how long, maybe a month, month and a half, maybe even two, that we're going to be in verse number three. Now here's the deal. Let me share this with you. This is not fast food, it's good food. And let me tell you something, when you eat fast, good food, you never get to enjoy the benefit of it. It just goes down fast. So if you want fast food, Taco Bell's out there, Del Taco will get it to you for 38 cents. Go get it fast. This is a place where you're going to be fed good food, and let's eat slow, and let's enjoy, and let's digest, and let's bring it into our bodies and systems, the good things that God has to say. I'm going to read to you. See if you can figure out the title of the message. It's real simple. But let's read out of verse number 1. Let's go all the way back to Hebrews 1. We've already taught verse 1 and verse number 2. You can get a hold of those CDs. They're great. And we'll break into verse number 3 today. Here's verse number 1 of the first chapter of Hebrews. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. That was a great message. God wants to speak to you. Can you imagine? The God who created the heavens and the earth wants to speak to you directly. That's an amazing thought. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. That was an amazing message. Absolutely life-changing. And then last week, I like it as we goes on, in whom He made the worlds. In other words, Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, He made the worlds. That was a bizarre message last week. If you didn't get it, you ought to get it. Verse number 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand, majesty on high. Now, here is the title of the message. You see those words up there, being the brightness of His glory? Actually, that's the title of the message today. So I knew you could figure that out, being in the brightness of His glory. There are three words I want you to highlight in your Bible. These three words are very important, and we're going to look at these three words today and figure out. Because when you read these words, He is speaking of Jesus, the brightness of His glory, we all, in a sense, understand something that's being said. There's no doubt about it. You have some concept of what's being said in those six words. But there are more being said than you know and that I know. And until we get out of the superficial and get into the deep, and I'm taking you today into deep water, guess what? We'll never understand the fullness of what's being said in the Word of God. These three words that I want you to highlight, the first one in chapter number 3 is the word glory. The second one is the word brightness. I'm going backwards. And the third one, which may be the most important of them all and the most interesting of them all, is a simple word called being. And let's start from the beginning here, the word glory. For Jesus, he's describing the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one who went to the cross, died a beaten, bloody mess for you and I, raised from the dead on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is something. He says that he is the brightness of his glory. And I want you to understand that most people don't know what the word glory means. Some of you have heard me teach this before about the word glory. It's good for you to understand. We'll actually see more than we've been taught before. So let's just hook on and listen closely. The word glory is an interesting word. If I ask Christians that attend American churches what the word glory means, some people will say, well, you know, I guess it means something that's illuminated, something that has an aura about it, maybe some sparkle to it. And that's where it usually just stops. The problem with that kind of an immature understanding of the word glory is that God says you live from glory to glory. If you don't know what glory is, how can you live from glory to glory? My goodness, and we find ourselves in a place of stopping only at our own understanding instead of going into an understanding of where God's at and what God is saying to us. The word glory means a whole lot more than something illuminated, something that has been sparklerized, or if you will, brought attention to or highlighted. You'll find that the word glory is described literally by God the Father himself. I don't need a theologian to figure it out for me. I don't need some pastor or some, expository understanding. I just simply need to hear the words of the Father himself when he explains the word glory. Because here he comes along and he makes a statement about Jesus. Jesus being the brightness of his glory. If I don't know what glory is, my goodness, how in the world does that ever relate to me? How do I live from glory to glory? How am I something who applies? How do I come and with my life, watch this, which we are commanded by God to do, glorify God? How can I ever glorify God if I don't understand what the word glory means? So to understand this, we're going to go find the words of the Father himself. May I take you there? Let's go back to the beginning, Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Now, I want you to concentrate with me. I want you to listen with me just for a few moments as we go to the Word of God. In Exodus, the 33rd chapter, as we look at it, in fact, to save the time so I don't have to read a bunch of verses to you and explain it to you, let me just explain to you what's happening. Here we find, and you know the story, where God has taken out of 400 years of captivity the children of Israel. They've been in captive to the Egyptians for over 400 years. He has brought a person in by the name of Moses that are going to lead them out of captivity into a place called the Promised Land. God tells Moses. Now, God has a special relationship with Moses. God speaks to Moses face to face. God talks to Moses. He's got this really cool relationship. He doesn't understand it himself. He just knows that God is speaking to him. And now he's led the children of Israel out of bondage. And they're in the area of the wilderness. And God speaks to him about going, taking the children of Israel into the Promised Land. And he says, I want you to do it because they're a stiff-necked people. You know, human beings, you and I, are still pretty stiff-necked. We still have our own ideologies and philosophies on how to do life, what we've been taught. The social societies that we live in dictate to us how we think. We're kind of hard-headed about stuff. You know, we say, prove it to us before I'll ever get involved in it. We're kind of a stiff-necked people just like they were. So God says, take these stiff-necked people and take them into the Promised Land. Moses is talking to God. Now listen to this. Moses says, well, who's going to go with me? Isn't it just like us humans that when God tells us to do something, we want someone else to go with us? Our security is in whether or not someone's with us when the truth is that God is with us. And God says, I'll go with you. And then Moses says, if you'll go with us, then everybody will know what this is all about. Everything will be cool if you go with us. I want you to go with us. And he makes the request of God for God to go with them. And as he presents this to the children of Israel who've been in bondage. So it's kind of a fascinating story. We pick it up. Remember, we're talking about an explanation of glory. Let's find out what it really means. Take a look, if you will, with me in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, starting this time in verse number 17. Let me read it to you. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, which means I'm going to go with you. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Verse number 18. And he said, please show me your glory. What really takes me, Moses talking to God. God says, you found grace in my sight. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to do what you have. You've got favor. The very next verse after verse 17 is verse 18. And the very thing that Moses asks is, show me your glory. He could have asked for anything. Show me your wealth. Show me your power. Show me how you're going to go with me. Show me what this is really all about. Show me what you want me to do. What is this going on? I don't understand this. This is kind of like freaky to me. That's what you and I would say. And he says in the very next verse, he could have said anything. He says, show me your glory. That's kind of a fascinating thing. Then God, the very next verse, right after verse number 18, of course, is verse number 19. And God said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And the gracious to whom I will be gracious, and compassion to whom I'll have compassion. But he said unto him in verse number 20, you cannot see my face, for no man can see my face and live. Verse number 21, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand in the rock. And so it shall be that my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And when I will take away my hand, you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. Now, a lot of times when we read that, we just blow through it. We don't understand what's being said. Let me take you back up if I can. Let's concentrate. Now watch me now. Watch this. Verse number 18. Please, Moses says to God, show me your, what was the word? Glory. Come on, play with me here. Show me your what? Glory. The very next verse, verse number 19, he says, I will make my goodness, everybody say goodness, pass before you. And then he comes along and he makes this statement, and you ought to circle it in your Bible, proclaim, see the word proclaim there, you ought to circle the word gracious, and you ought to circle the word compassion. Now, I'll come back to that in just a moment. He says, show me your glory. The very next verse, God speaks, the very next thing he says is, I will have my goodness pass before you. Now, if you go down a little bit further in verse number 22, it says, and so it shall be, while my goodness passes by. It didn't say goodness. Wait a minute, God, you said you were going to have your goodness pass by me. I asked to see your glory. You said you're sending your goodness. And now you tell me what's passing by me is your glory. So all of a sudden, now we see something. Between verse 22 and verse number 19, that the goodness of God, when it passed by Moses, was his, verse 22, glory. And how it manifests itself, go back to verse number 19 with me up there. Let's take a look at it again in verse number 19. How the goodness of God becomes the glory of God when the name is proclaimed. When we come into the house of God, we sing songs about Jesus. When we on the workplace, we tell somebody about Jesus. When we're out there showing Jesus off, that's, guess what, proclaiming who he is. That's the glory of God being displayed. And then it comes along when there's grace, when God's grace comes upon us and we give that grace to help somebody else because God graces us, then guess what happens? When we live a life of compassion, all of a sudden that demonstrates the glory. So for you to understand what has just taken place, because the brightness of his glory is Jesus, listen to what he just said. He found out now that it's more than just illumination. It's more than just some sparkly thing. It's more than just, guess what it is? We now find out something completely different. We find out that the glory is his manifested goodness, or his goodness that is seen. There's different kinds of goodness on this planet. There's the goodness of man. That's man's society and social systems. It's your ideologies and philosophies. It's the way you've been brought up. It's the social goodnesses that we have out there. But that doesn't mean they're the goodness of God. In fact, when Jesus is confronted, he makes a statement. When he says, good master, someone says, good master to Jesus. He says, why do you call me good? He says these words. He says, there's none good but God. We have a whole system based on our, what we determine to be good. And the truth is that his glory is manifested in his goodness. There's a difference between human goodness and God's goodness. The difference doesn't come just when you and I make a decision. The decision, remember this, goes all the way back to the garden where God says to Adam and Eve, all the trees you may partake, but don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. When that day comes, if you partake of it, you will surely die. She partakes of it. Now her eyes are open. She can now determine for herself what is good and what is evil. And because she can now determine outside of God what is good, now the goodness is established on this planet based on human thinking, human society and social systems that seemingly work instead of what's good according to God. God's goodness oftentimes is different than yours and mine. But the manifested goodness, the display of God's goodness, if you will, the amplification of God's goodness, not just your goodness, or the politician goodness, or the economy goodness, none of that stuff. But when there's a display of God's goodness, guess what it does? It brings the glory into the place. It changes the world that we live in. Do you understand that? It's so fascinating to all of us because this is what Jesus was really all about. Let me put it up like this. Glory, let's define it, as God's manifested goodness. Remember I had you circle in your Bible three words. The first one was glory, working backwards. The second one was the word brightness. Kind of fascinating word. Let me just take you back to, if you will, and in Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 3, the word brightness is a great word. The brightness means this. It means a illumination. It means a highlighting. It means a display. So now we find that Jesus is the one who illuminated, who brought about and highlighted the glory, manifested goodness of God to a lost and dying world that lives in a kingdom of darkness. And here comes the light. And the light was to man, John, the first chapter, and man didn't understand it. Whew. Are you following me? Kind of interesting as we continue looking at this. So the word brightness is a word that means displayed. But the third word I had you circle, which I find the most fascinating, is the word being. It doesn't say being in the brightness of his glory. Didn't say trying to be in. Didn't say example. It says being, like Jesus is the display on this darkened planet of the goodness of God. He's not imitating the Father. He's not just trying to relate with the Father. He's not trying to be the example of the Father. He is the very brightness of his glory. Because it says being, not in the brightness. No translation says that, by the way. The translation says it like this. Being, not in the brightness of his glory, but being. He is That's what he is. That's why when Jesus was confronted by his disciples and his disciples say to him, Jesus, could you show us the Father? He bewildered looks at him and says, I've been with you so long, you just don't get it. When you see me, you see the Father. Then he goes on to say this. He says, the words that I speak are not my words, but he that sent me. In other words, that's what this is all about. He is. He is the display of God's goodness on the planet. And that's why they crucified him the way he hung him, because they couldn't understand the goodness of God. It's different than the goodness of man, the goodness of religion. And the religious leaders went out and said, wait a minute, he's saying something that's different, because it was what you conceive from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, how things ought to be. But Jesus comes and tells us the right way. Now we get born of the Spirit of God, and a lot of us don't understand how in the world that works with us. But if Jesus can be one of those, how about this in Acts, the 10th chapter? Where they write about Jesus, he can be one who displays this, just popping up on the overhead. And the 38th verse says this, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, who went about doing good. What kind? Good. And healing all. What did he do that's wrong? He came against man's thinking. Instead of God's, and he maintained his position in God's goodness, displaying the very glory of God. Now, wait a minute. Here's the problem oftentimes in the American church. We hear about Jesus, and we never associate with Jesus. Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is everything. He has done it all. He is, no doubt, we all are on that page together. He is the display of God's goodness on this darkened planet, no doubt about it. But you ever thought about what Jesus is, says something about who you are? You say, well, no, why should it be? Here's why. Because we have a concept, watch me now. We have a concept of him being there and us being here. When in fact our Bible says, I didn't say this, the Bible, the Word of God says, he is the head and we are the body. Now I want you to know something. The head doesn't work very good without a body, and the body doesn't work very good without the head. Yeah, you are the arms, the mouthpiece, the shoulders and the legs of Jesus Christ in this time on the planet. Don't go out of here and tell people I'm a cultist. I am not saying you are God. I'm saying just what the Bible says. The Bible says he's the head and you're the body. So what they say about Jesus relates to me. And when Christianity is only about Jesus instead of what Jesus did for us and what we're supposed to do because we're in Jesus, it becomes a shallow religion. You didn't get that, did you? Now listen, when Christianity only becomes about Jesus and what he did instead of what we do in him, then it becomes a shallow religion. We come and we gather in the house of God. We hear a few songs. We do glorify him by singing a few songs, the 200 years old from some organ concerto, and that's fine. And we walk out. And here's what most people that are in churches will tell you. You don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. Can I tell you something? Listen to me now. As far as redemption, he has done it all. But there's a part you play in the very glory of God that needs to be displayed to a lost and dying world. My body doesn't do what it wants to do. I'm walking right now because my head is telling my nervous system to move the muscles that causes me to walk. My hands just went up because my head just told my hands. In other words, my body follows the head, and that's exactly what should be happening today in the American church, is the body of Christ, which is you and me, that are born of the Spirit of God, ought to be following the head. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. There's going to come a time when you're going to be before God the Father. The Bible says in that day of judgment that you have boldness in the day of judgment. You know why you have boldness? Now listen to me. Listen. You know why you have boldness with the Father on the day of judgment when you stand before God Himself? Because it's not you. You were in Christ. And for Him to condemn you when you're in Christ would be condemning Christ who paid the price for your mess ups. Do you understand that? That in the day of judgment, I can stand before God and guess what? With boldness. Not because I'm cool. Not because I'm talented. Not because I'm gifted. Not because I'm smart. Not because I got a gazillion degrees and a billion awards. I can stand before God and say, God, all of that I throw at the feet of Jesus, because without Him I'm nothing, and with Him I have everything. And the day of judgment I stand in boldness because I'm in Christ Jesus. And when we just stop with Jesus on the cross, we forgot about who we are and why we're left here. We're here to display what Jesus displayed by doing the will of God, which is the goodness of God. Because it's in the goodness of God that men come to repentance. How fascinating. And changes the world. In fact, Debbie alluded to this verse, spoke it last week, which I found fascinating. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 17. Pop it up there for me. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why would I have boldness in the day? Because as He, notice the capital H in the word He, speaking of Jesus, as He is, so are we in this world. If He is the displayed glory, manifested goodness of God the Father in this planet, so are you. So am I. And when we come into the house of God and we only see ourselves as Christians, and we're only gathering together out of token relationship or maybe some ceremonial ritual, we have missed the purpose of why God put you on this planet. You, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells, by the way, it's the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit on Paul, Peter, James, John, who turned the world that they knew were upside down. Why? Because they were displayers of God's manifested goodness. Being, not trying to be, not imitators of, but being the brightness of His manifested, His, God's goodness. Without it, my friends, we become a dead religion that gathers together and someone comforts us to sleep every service, and we get, come on, be honest with yourself, bored out of your minds. And you know it, and I know it. I just admit it, and you don't. Bored to the place where you fall asleep because we don't know the purpose of why we've been left on the planet after we got saved. And we're left because we're His body, and we're the ones that are going to extend the glory that He has given to us, that God the Father gave to Him. And if we don't know that, what we do is we come in the house of God, we play. There's no purpose, there's no destiny, there's no reason why we're here on this planet. We just come in and we do our things, and we gather material things to ourselves, trying to make ourselves feel good, and it will never make you feel good until you fulfill the plan of God. You are the hands, the arms, the legs, the mouth. You are the shoulders. You are the voice in the land of the King of Glory. You are the displayer, not of man's goodness, got to watch yourself there because it can easily get confused. You are the displayer of the goodness of God. Now, Jesus makes a statement. I happen to believe that when Jesus talks to the Father, how about you? He gets answers. Is that right? Are you okay with that? I mean, when Jesus makes a statement, go with me to John the 17th chapter, and he's directly talking to the Father, I don't believe the Father God says, well, you know, Jesus, my only begotten Son, forget it. Not gonna do it. I don't believe that the Father says to Jesus, well, I'm all out of answering prayers today. And you actually requested something that's contrary to my way. My Bible says when you ask something in His name, according to His will, you'll have what you ask. That's a lot of times why we don't get what we want, because we're asking what we think instead of what His will is. Remember, the body has to follow the will of the head, or it's out of sync. It becomes spastic. Jesus is talking to the Father. He makes some incredible statements in John the 17th chapter. Let's just pop it up. Let's look at verse 20. Let's start there. Let's pop it up on the overhead. John, he says, I do not pray for these alone, speaking of the disciples that are around him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. In other words, when the disciples put out the word, there's going to be us guys that believe. So Jesus is making a statement, verse number 20, about you and me exactly. That we are believers because of what we hear the disciples say. And therefore, this part of the prayer is for us. Wow. Verse 21 comes along, and he makes a statement. They all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That here's the witness. That the world may believe that you sent me. Wow. We have all kinds of divisions in the body of Christ. And the reason for that is because we really don't know our place as the body. We see ourselves as this denomination and that denomination and believe this and believe that, but we don't see ourselves gathered together as the body with a purpose of displaying God's manifold glory. Verse number 22 comes along. It's really fascinating. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have, past tense. He didn't say the glory that you've given me, I'm hoping that you will give to them, or I'm wishing you'll give to them. He says, the glory, the manifested goodness that you put in my life, I've put in theirs. You say, well, Pastor Jim, where is it? It's because the world has so squished it, and we've never let the power of the Holy Spirit bring it out of us. Inside of all that are born of the Spirit of God, there's the goodness of God that wants to come out and display God Himself. To a lost and dying world, that's what he's talking about, that the world may know that you have sent me. I have given to them that they may be one just as we are one. Verse number 23 comes along. I in them and you in me. I in them, you in me. Jesus in the Father, we're in Jesus. So if we're in Jesus, then we're also in the... That they may be made perfect in one. In other words, we need each other. That the world, here's the second time he says, that the world may know that you have sent me. The world is waiting for a hero. And it doesn't happen until the church stands up, you and I, and display the manifold goodness, manifested goodness of God, His glory. You have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse number 24. Father, I desire. How many of you call Him Father when you pray? Of course you do. We call Him Father, but do we realize that because of Jesus, we're in Him? Or do we see ourselves separate from Him? Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold, look and see, find out about. The word behold means see and tell my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Next verse. Oh, righteous Father, there's the goodness of God. The world has not known you. Why? Because they're operating in their own goodness. Until they see the manifested goodness of God, the glory of God through you and I, they'll never know him. But I have known you and those who have known you that you sent me. And all of a sudden, we, the church, needs to wake up again. When it's just about Jesus instead of how we relate with Jesus, we have a shallow understanding of the Word of God. Yes, he is the preeminent Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God that went to the cross, a beaten, bloody mess, and died for us. Raised from the dead on the third day by the power of God, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's making intercession for you and I. Why? Because you and I need to know that he's the head and we're the body. And if he, being the brightness of his glory, then we are the brightness of his glory also. Which ought to be the way the church lives. You'll fall. You'll fail. You'll make mistakes. You'll be the brightness of darkness again from time to time. But that's how we learn, by making mistakes. The garbage that I lived in 20 years ago is not the garbage that I live in today. The garbage that I lived in 30 years ago is not the garbage I live in today. The Christian I was last year is not the Christian I am this year. I am growing more and more into the image of who he is upon this planet. Because he is the head, I am the body. I'm called by God to display his manifested goodness. And that's the glory of God. How do I do it? I do it three ways. One, remember the words I had you to circle? I do this. I proclaim Jesus. Two, the grace that he gives me, I give to others so that they might live and be better off. And the compassion that he shows me, I show to others. And all of a sudden, I am displaying the manifested goodness, glory of God. Today, you're vitally important. I don't care. Listen to me for a second. I've got time. I want to share this with you. I don't care what your mother said, your drunken father, how he beat you. I don't care about your uncle came through the door when you were 11 years old and violated you. I don't care if two drunken people in a bar got together, passed eggs and sperm, and here you are, and you think of yourself as nothing. God brought you here for a reason. There's a destiny, there's a purpose, and God thought enough of you to go to the cross and die so that you would be his mouthpiece, his arms, his shoulders, his legs, his hands, his feet, and go display the glory of God, which is his brightness in a darkened kingdom. That's why we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his dear Son. If God spoke to you today, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that? Isn't that good? Woo.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.